Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 to begin with our time this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. This morning we want to talk about going forward in your spiritual life. Going forward in your spiritual life. And specifically going forward in your spiritual life by faith. Going forward by faith. Verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, that's God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. As we look at the Bible, we recognize that faith is a vital ingredient in the life of the believer. Faith is a vital ingredient in every area of life. Faith is vital for a person as a believer to go forward. And really, faith is, in many cases, the answer that people need to get a hold of in whatever state, whatever situation they are in life. True faith and the response of faith is really the answer. As we think of the importance of faith, I'd like us to think about faith in different situations of life as the key in different situations of life and going forward. So let's turn to James chapter 1. And here we have different situations in life. And the first situation in life that we want to talk about is that situation of trials in life. You know, many times Christians come to that place in their life where they're going through a particular trial. It is a time of difficulty. It is a time in which it seems like maybe things are going the wrong direction. It may seem like the hand of God is gone. It may be a time in which all sorts of things are happening and you don't know why. Of course, the great example of trial in the Bible is the trial that the man Job underwent. And he went in a time in which there was a time in which he lost almost all his possessions. He lost all his children. He lost his friends. He lost his health. And there was nothing left. It was a time of testing. It was a time of testing of his life. What did Job and what does James tell us about trials? How do we handle trials? The Bible says in James chapter 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Divers means, is the word diverse, many different kinds. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So here it is, this time of testing. And you know, you don't know in a time of testing what God is doing. We don't know his plan. We don't know necessarily his purpose. But there's a trial that we are now going through. How do we respond to trial? How do we make it through trial? How do we make it through difficult times in our Christian life? The Bible tells us in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him." How does a person go through difficulty in life, not knowing the answers, and in the process, go forward? Now, the devil would want people to go backwards, wouldn't they? The devil would want them to question God. The devil would want them to, maybe you might say, lose faith. But actually, the Bible tells us a time of trial is a time of going forward in our Christian life. It's a time of going forward. How can it be a time of going forward? The Bible says this, knowing that it says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. How can a person that's going through a trial, maybe it's a health trial, maybe it's a financial trial, maybe it is some other kind of trial. How can a person go through that trial without just being totally discouraged, without being totally despondent, without a person losing faith? Well, the Bible says you should take in that trial, he says, count it all joy. Well, how can you count a trial joy? Well, because of some promises that God gives us. We have some promises. One promise is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God. We know that God works all things together for good. We know the promise of God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so here is a trial. What should we do with that trial? We have to decide by faith that we're going to believe the promise of God. We're going to have to decide that even though we cannot see the end of that trial, even though we can't see so-called the light at the end of the tunnel, we're going to have to decide that we are going to believe and rest on the promises of God. It could be a great spiritual battle to rely upon your flesh, to rely upon your emotions, to rely upon your humanness, and say, you know, I just don't see how this ever going to change, how it's ever going to be different. And we can let that trial discourage us. But the Lord says, don't do that. He says, count it joy. How? He says, because he says, you can know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And patience have her perfect work. Notice it says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, what does patience have to do with this? Patience is the word endurance. Now, if you know anything about endurance, endurance is hanging on with all your might, and at the same time, going forward with all your might. Endurance. You know, somebody that's these fellows that were in that basketball game, and the 5 minutes overtime, I'm sure they were already exhausted. But you know, they had to do more than hang on. They had to put all their effort into the game. Otherwise, they're going to lose, weren't they? But you know, in the game of life, God has trials. The devil's purpose is for us to give up and to get discouraged and to quit. And instead of, but God's plan is to endure, to trust God, to believe His promises, to know that God is in charge and He'll not let us down. And the Bible says that the trying of your faith worketh patience. In trials, God is building our endurance. He is building our ability to handle trouble. He is building our spiritual strength to go on and to do His will. And then He says, no, it says, but let patience have her perfect work or her perfecting work. And in that time of turning to God and holding on to God and looking to God's promises, rather than running from the trial, we're saying, God, what is it that You want to teach me? What is it that You want to teach me? Maybe it's He wants to teach us faith. Maybe there's something else He wants to teach us. But He says in this trial that God is doing something in our lives. I like what it says in Romans chapter 5. It says here, and not in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Notice the way it works. He says the tribulation works in patience or endurance. And endurance works experience. And experience works hope. And hope makes not ashamed. You know, every trial that you go through and you're trusting God in that trial, when it's over, you have now not only developed endurance, spiritual endurance, but you have gained a spiritual experience, a certain knowledge about life. And what is that knowledge? The knowledge is God does work all things together for good. When it's all over, somewhere along the line, you'll be able to look back and say, thank You, Lord, for the trial. It was tough. All I could do was gain Your grace to hold on. And it was a fight to believe that You were in the trial and You were working in the trial. But now that I look back on it, I say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. And so it says in that trial, it says all of this works hope. What is hope? The sure expectation of a good thing to come. And what does that hope do? It helps us or causes us to experience what? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We go through that trial. When it's all over, we say, you know what? The devil wanted me to doubt God. But now I can see that God is far more loving than I ever knew Him before. You see, you can quit in the trial. You can take the easy ground in the trial. You can disobey God in the trial. Or by faith, you can say, I believe the promise of God. And I'm not going to quit. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to keep going forward. I'm not going to slack up. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give any less to God with my life. Because I believe in God's promises. And so that trial becomes a victory. The trial becomes a victory when we respond in faith. I think of other situations in life, some that are closely related. But in Psalm number 55, there's a great tragedy happened in the life of David. A great tragedy. And there are tragedies in life. There are, in this case, David was betrayed by a close friend. David was betrayed by a close friend. It tells us in Psalm 55, verse 4, "My heart is sore pained within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me." In fact, David was in the situation in which he could have died. Perhaps this was written with the betrayal of Absalom and the betrayal of Abiathar the priest. And maybe it was in a different case of other betrayal. But Abiathar was a sweet friend of David. And they certainly took counsel together in the house of the Lord. They went through many trials together. But Abiathar went with Absalom in the rebellion against David. And David was really could have died if they had followed the other advice. But notice it says, verse 5, "Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." What is horror? Horror is the dread of darkness. The dread of something evil happening. And I said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest." You know, it was so bad. He said, "Oh, I wish I could just fly away. I just wish I could escape somehow. I wish that somehow I could do something." You know, it's like you ever wake up in the morning and you say, "I'm sure glad that was a dream. Man, I'm glad that was a dream." Horror. And David basically said, "I wish it could have been a dream. I wish I could escape." It says, verse 12, it says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, my account, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." This very difficult situation, horrifying. Death, faced with death. He wanted to run away, but he couldn't. There was no way he could run away. You know, he had a decision to make. And it helps us understand that faith is not a feeling. What was his feeling? Horror. What was his feeling? Trembling. Fearfulness. Agony of soul. That's how he felt. did he decide to do? You see, we see that faith is not some merely mental thought. Faith involves the whole person. Faith involves the mind. Faith involves the mental recognition of the truth that's found in the Bible, the truth that's found in God. It involves the mind. Faith involves the affections. It does. You know how the devil got Adam and Eve to sin? The devil got them to sin by not only making them believe a lie, but the devil got Adam and Eve to doubt the goodness of God. And the devil worked on their affections. And he said, oh, God isn't really good. God isn't really good. He's keeping back something from you. He doesn't want you to really have, you know, a blessing. He wants to hinder you. He doesn't want you to have that fruit. He's trying to keep back some. You know, the devil was working on his affections. You see, faith involves the affections. The Apostle Paul, they said, Apostle Paul, how could you just obey, keep on obeying God? I mean, you've been in shipwrecks, you've been in poverty, you've been in hunger, you have been mistreated, you have been abused, you have been beaten. He says, the love of Christ constraineth me. His affections were fitted on the love of Christ. And so David was able to do something about this problem, because he knew that God was a good God. He knew in his mind that God was a great God. And God was a powerful God. But you know, he had to do something about God's goodness. He had to do something about knowing that God was powerful. You know what he had to do? He had to decide to do something with his will. And notice what he decided. It says, verse 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. You know what? I'm not going to do like they're doing. I'm not going to let their evil cause me to do evil. I'm not going to respond in like manner. He says, I can do the right thing. It was a decision of faith. And he says, what am I going to do? He says, I'm going to call upon God. And not only did he just say, I'm going to call upon God, what did he say? As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord might save me. Is that what it says? No. Now notice the difference. You see, the full swing. Faith is, okay, I believe God's ability. I believe in his love. I'm going to do something about it. But it's 100% dependence. And the Lord shall save me. The answer is not maybe God will save me. The answer is not maybe God might save me. He said, God shall save me. The response of faith was the victory. The response of faith was the answer. And faith brings the victory. That's what we see. Faith brings the victory. As I think of Genesis chapter 22. We find the situation that Abraham was in. Genesis 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. As he went to the mountain, verse 7, Isaac said to his father, My father. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. You know, Hebrews gives us an insight into this. In Hebrews, it tells us that Abraham obeyed by faith. Verse 17 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, that he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now notice the faith here. Now, you know, sometimes faith calls us to make the apparent greatest sacrifice. Sometimes God is bringing us to a place to make the greatest sacrifice that we can imagine. Now, this was for Abraham, his only son. He could not have, and the son of miraculous birth, of Sarah and Abraham. And the Bible makes it clear how Abraham loved Isaac. And God says, I want you to take him up and make him a burnt offering. You know, the Christian life is many times full of apparent sacrifices. Something that costs us something. You know, most of the time doing right is going to seemingly cost you something. At least from a human standpoint, it may appear like it's going to cost you money. It may appear like it's going to cost you time. It may appear like it's going to cost something that was very valuable, you know, whatever. There's many times that spiritual things bring us to a place where it is going to apparently cost us something. The cost really is an illusion. The cost is really an illusion. Because, you know, material things are nothing in compared to spiritual blessings. The Lord said, Peter said to the Lord, "Lord, we have left all and followed you." And the Lord says, "I know, Peter. You have left all and you followed me. You left your job. You left your family. You left your future. You left everything to follow me." And the Lord says, "There's no man that hath left father or mother or husband or wife or children or lands and for my sake and the gospel that shall not receive 100-fold in this life and life to come, eternal life." So what is he saying? The cost is always apparent. It's never real. But the decision seems to be very costly. And Abraham's decision was very appeared to be very costly. But how did he deal with it? My only son? God's asked me to give my only son? And then he thought about it. Well, it's only an apparent loss, because God told me that Isaac was going to be the heir. And God never lies. And if this is to the heir, and God says he is going to be the heir. So if I do take his life, God, I have to raise him up because he said he was the heir. So it was apparent loss, but it wasn't going to be a loss. What do you have to do? He had to believe the promise of God. He had to believe and act upon the promise of God. The promise of God, acting upon the truths of the Bible, of the truth of the Bible. He had to obey what God said by faith. He didn't know how God would do it all. He didn't know any of the details. He didn't know that God was going to have that ram caught in the thicket. God didn't tell them ahead of time. He didn't know that. But he had a decision to make. He had a decision of, am I going to obey God or am I not going to obey God? And the decision to obey God was a decision that he was going to, by faith, believe God's word. He was, by faith, going to believe God's word no matter what it seemed it was going to cost him. But you know, that's what the devil, you know, that's the devil. The devil wants you to say, well, this will cost me this and this and this and this. In one sense, that's true. But what you get in return is always far greater than whatever it costs you. But how do you get there? What if Abraham would have wilted? That'd be the end of Abraham, wouldn't it? I mean, we thank the Lord it didn't happen, and we can't comprehend it happening. But what if he wouldn't have responded in faith? Why was Abraham the hero that he was? Why? Because he went forward by faith. And he went forward by faith. Now, in the Bible, we have another great situation of something that apparently was going to cost people something to obey God. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we have the incident of the people of Israel going to go into the promised land. They had sent the spies. And the spies saw, can you imagine Mr. Griffin, a cluster of grapes that was so big that they had to put it, two men had to carry it on a pole. I mean, that's what the Bible means by saying that the land of Palestine or the land of Canaan was going to be a land of flowing with milk and honey. This is going to be a great land. And God was going to provide for the people of Israel miraculously and supernaturally in that land. It was a land that He was giving them. And so He delivered them from slavery to Egypt to go back into the land that He had promised them. But as they went, the spies went back to the people. Notice what they said. They said in Numbers 13:27, they told them and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of the people." They said, you know what? It's a tough land. Can you imagine going up against cities that are on mountains? Can you go imagine being in war with giants? The sons of Anak were giants. They were skilled in battle. And they says, you know, we can't go. Our wives and our children, they might die. And of course, the Bible tells us, Caleb said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the people said, "We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we." Now, God said, "I'll give you the land." But there was giants there, just like Goliath. And the people of Israel had been growing vegetables and making bricks. They weren't soldiers. They weren't military people. They probably didn't have very good weapons. They said, no, we can't do it. And of course, the people listened to the naysayers. And all those people who listened to the naysayers, what happened to them? All those men of war died. They spent the next 38 years of their life just wandering in the wilderness, doing nothing for God, accomplishing nothing for God, just wandering around. They never went forward in their life. You know why? Because they weren't willing to risk anything for God. They weren't willing to risk anything for God. You know, it takes faith to risk your life for God. I remember the day, it was in May of 1969. It was a Saturday night. I went to a missions conference at a church in Waukesha. There's a missionary there. I'd never heard a missionary before in my life. But I don't know where he was from. I suppose at that point in my time, I guess, you know, most people think all missionaries are from Africa. But that's maybe where he's from. I don't know. But, you know, he said, "Now, young people, I want to challenge you to give your life to the Lord. I'm challenging you to say to the Lord, Lord, whatever you want for my life, I'm willing to do it. Lord, here is my life. I'm willing to do whatever you want with my life. Here's my life. And young people, I challenge you to give your life to serve to be available to serve God, whatever he wants for you to do. And I thought about that invitation. And I went forward and prayed with the missionary and gave my life to the Lord. He says, Lord, whatever you want for my life, that's what I want to do. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. I remember leaving that church building, driving back to the university, hour and a half drive. And a little ways down the road, the devil saying, you know, Ron, that was really stupid. That was really a foolish thing to do, to give your life to God. Why would you do such a foolish thing? I know that that was from the devil. And I rejected that immediately. But what was the devil saying? Why would you give your life to serve God? Why would you put your life completely in the hands of the Lord and say he could do with your life whatever you want? That'd be so foolish to waste your life. No, it's not a waste of your life. It's one of the best decisions I ever made in all of my life. And whatever I gave up, I know it would have been nothing in comparison to what the Lord has done in letting me live for him. But you know, at that point, it looked like I was risking my life. I was risking a future of graduating from the university, getting into civil engineering, being I wanted to be owner of a construction company, and all of that stuff. Throw away my life? No, not at all. Did it seem like a risk? It seemed like it. But God is a good God. God is a good God. And by faith, we give ourselves to God to do his will, recognizing that he is good. Let's turn to Psalm 81. Faith is the way to go forward. It's the way to go forward in the Christian life. The just shall live by faith. It's the way to go forward in trial. It's the way to go forward in testing. It's the way to go forward in the darkest moments. It's the way to go forward in life itself. In Psalm 81, the people were I guess you'd say backslidden. Verse 8, it says, Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So that I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Notice what he says here. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. You know, there's a parallel here. What does it mean to open your mouth wide? Well, let me give you an illustration. Hi, Luke. How you doing? Did you hear? That's how some people talk. And when they talk like that, you don't know if they know, you don't know what they're talking about, and you don't know if they mean it, right? But, hey, Luke, how you doing? Good to see you today. Now you can understand that, can't you? You know, how wide you open your mouth has a lot to do with your heart. In the Bible, opening your mouth wide is a decision to trust God for big things. It's the decision of God to trust God. It's the decision of the heart to trust God for big things. Now, how do you know if you're trusting God for the wrong kind of things, or if you're trusting God for the right kind of things? Do you think that do you think that really it's a legitimate prayer? God, I want a I want a Rolls Royce. Actually, I don't want one. I think cars are a terrible investment. And if you have a really nice one, it costs a lot of money to fix them, and so I don't like that kind of thing. But you know, what it's talking about here is talking about big things spiritually. Talking about big things spiritually. You know, maybe that big thing is victory over a sin that you've never had victory over. Maybe that big prayer is to pray for a spiritual accomplishment that you have never yet accomplished, and you can't do it yourself. Maybe you've never led a soul to Christ. Did you really ever ask God for a soul? I mean, did you really open your mouth wide enough, figuratively, that God could answer that prayer? You know, in our lives, we need to constantly be thinking about where we are spiritually. And you know, if we're not going forward, if we're just drifting spiritually, or if we're even sensing we're going backwards spiritually, we need to change the direction of our life. And the Bible tells us that we need to trust God for some big things ahead of us. Think it would change your life if you said, Lord, you know what? I'm tired of going nowhere. Lord, I'm giving myself anew and afresh to you, to be used by you. You know, one of the best and easiest ways to be used by God is to be a witness for Christ. You say, well, I'm not a very good witness. Well, you're just in exactly the situation that you need to be in. Because faith is not depending on yourself. Faith is depending on God. Faith is not figuring it out how it could happen. Faith is trusting God to do what only He can do. Going ahead by faith. You know, if you say, I'll never have victory over that sin, probably won't. But if you say, well, you know, I'm not satisfied not having victory over that sin, but I know I can't, but I know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And He can give me victory over that sin. And I am going to decide to trust Him. Amen? You see, faith is not some emotional jazz you feel by going to a Christian rock concert. Faith is a hardcore, tough, calculated decision of the heart towards God. In the Hebrews, every one of those men, their faith was seen in hard, difficult, big decisions in their life. Building an ark. Going to a land you don't know where you're going. Living for God in a godless day. Why would you want to live for God in a godless day? Well, because there's an eternity and there's a God who's alive and who rewards those who seek Him. I wonder today, very simple truth, how do you need to go forward in your life? How do you need to go forward? There's only one way to go forward, and that's by faith. That faith may be a decision of obedience. That decision of faith may be a decision to, instead of being dark and gloomy and giving up and discouraged, it may be a decision that I am going to believe the promise of God. That going forward in your life may be, instead of being defeated and wanting to give up, you say, you know what? I am going to trust and believe God that He is going to give me the victory. Now, maybe that victory, that decision needs to be preceded by some faith-building work. And my Bible says, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Maybe you need to revitalize reading the Bible. Maybe you need to get into the Bible and start reading 5-10 chapters a day. And as you read the Word of God, Let its truth saturate your soul. You can persuaded of God's ability, persuaded of God's promises, persuaded of God's plan, that our value system can be molded by what is valuable versus what is invaluable. So that we can have the faith to go forward. You know, young person, you know that faith is the answer. You know, you need to make some decisions in your life about, and you need to, and those decisions need to be made by faith. You know, there is a conscious, deliberate decision to trust, to turn, to rest, to let God have his way in your life. It doesn't just kind of float out of the sky. It's a decision of your soul. And perhaps even today, you'd have to say, you know, by faith, I'm going to trust God to go forward in my life. By faith, I'm going to overcome discouragement and all the doubts, and I am going to decide to go forward. You know what? Going forward is going to cost you something. I don't know what's going to cost you. It might cost you what people think. It might cost you the laugh of your friends. It might cost you some seemingly worthless pleasure that is worthless, but yet has a hold on your soul. I don't know what it's going to cost you. It'll cost you something. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you need to make that decision to be a faithful Christian and be in church every time you can? Do you need to make that decision by faith to get into your Bible, read your Bible every day, not let a day go by that you don't read your Bible? You need to make that decision by faith that that every day you're going to try to witness to someone about Jesus Christ or pass out a tract? Is the Lord speaking to you about your life? About giving your life to serve the Lord? And your so-called Christian friends would laugh at you? That, well, they aren't Christian friends anyhow. And you have to ask if they're even Christian under those circumstances. But what about it? You know, faith it reveals itself in a definite decision of action in our life that always involves going forward for God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to be challenged to go forward by faith. Lord, if we could see it, if we could figure it out, it wouldn't be faith. But Lord, but because it's based on you and your promises and your truths, because it's based on the Word of God, it's not fictitious, it's real. And Lord, many people today, every one of us in even our own lives, need to face our problems rather than with doubt and giving up. We need to face them with faith and trust. We need to face the situations, Lord, rather than melting. We need to rise up in your strength. And so, Lord, wherever that great truth needs to be applied, and there may be a soul here today, Lord, that needs to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, the devil would want to make it look like they're giving up some sin. In reality, perhaps there are sins in their life that they need to turn from. But Lord, it's nothing compared to eternal life. I pray that, Lord, I pray that you would work in hearts. Well, heads are bowed and eyes closed. The Lord is speaking to you today about responding to the situation that you are in, responding in faith. And there's been a battle in your life, maybe even a failure, or maybe just that's the truth that you needed to make the next step. And you say today, by an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, pray for me. The Lord has spoken to my heart that the answer to the situation that I'm in is to go forward by faith. And the Lord has spoken to me about that today. That faith to obey, that faith to trust, that faith to risk, supposedly, for the Lord. You say, pray for me, Pastor, the Lord has spoke my heart about going forward by faith. Anyone here today, number of different hands. Pray for me, God, Pastor, the Lord has spoke to me about going forward by faith. Okay, amen. Amen. Others, you know, that is many times a cold, hard decision, not feeling. It's a decision that's right. The Lord has spoken your heart. Okay, praise the Lord. I've seen those hands. Others, okay. Okay, amen. Amen. I see that hand as well. The Lord has spoken to me about deciding by faith to trust God and go forward. Lord, thank you for your word and for the principle of your word and the assurance and the help. And Lord, thank you for speaking to many different hearts today. And Lord, now we know that either it will be a great challenge to make that decision of faith. I pray that, Lord, that they will trust thee fully and have peace, even though all that looks around them may seem dark. But help them to be strong in faith, being fully persuaded that what you promised, you're able also to do. And we pray that you would be given the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.